the daily guide. I'll start with the Chronicle, and you know the Chronicle always has a foreboding Bible verse at the bottom of the front page. So this one is Proverbs 18:17, which says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Is that really in the Bible?
What was the verse again?
It says Proverbs chapter 17, chapter 18, verse 17.
Okay, so let's do this. Proverbs 18, verse 17. Proverbs 18.
17.
Proverbs 18, verse 17. 18, verse 17. Okay, let's just check it. Now, it says, okay, this is the NIV version.
Okay.
In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines.
Wow.
Let's take other versions for purposes of analysis.
Okay.
The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him also. Ah. So that's the... okay. Huh. Okay. This one, the NLT says, the first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins. It's more like a legal this thing.
Yes.
Then the ESV says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him.
Fascinating, right?
When the people say everything is in the Bible.
Yeah, you think they are wrong.
Everything is indeed in the Bible.
Anyway, so the banner headline is, Dumbo Family Speaks. We don't support Brian. Dr. Baumia is our candidate. Because yesterday, you see, there were some stories.
I get it now.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Meanwhile, right beneath that banner headline is this one. S.D. Dumbo's nephew declares support for Brian.
Okay. Hey, the family... doesn't support Brian.
Yes, but the nephew
supports Brian.
Yes.
We'll get into it later.
There's always one, isn't there?
Oh, well.
All right. Prinpag and Glomef have condemned the assault on the Class Media journalist. I think we know what happened to him, unfortunately. One year in office, Mahama touts economic stabilization. These are the stories on the front page of today's Chronicle.
Great. And the Ghanaian Times, massive push needed to stimulate domestic private investment. That's their Santihini. And public reactions to Constitution Day, Mahama 1 year. And President Mahama renews vows to Ghanaians, promises ethical leadership at all levels. And gridlock deepens at Kwame Nkrumah Interchange, North Industrial Area. So, I've been telling you about that track.
Mm.
It's actually captured here. Yes.
So it's been there a while.
Yes, you know. They talk about, you know, that challenge.
That is a terrible place for a truck to break down.
Yeah. Anyway, the back page talks about engaging in constitution review process. NCC urges Ghanaians and consolidate gains so far. Arise Ghana tells president.
Okay. Yes, they did an assessment. They called it an independent assessment of the president yesterday. And they're asking him to consolidate gains. Mm. All right. Okay. I have the Daily Guide. Banner headline, Samira cries foul over Baumia smear campaign. And it also says at the top, Ken is the leader Ghana wants, according to Na Toshi. There are pictures of both of them. At the top of the front page. Also on the front page this morning, NDC's first year in office, Mahama pledges integrity, inclusive governance. Ofinso Samproso crash claims 10 lives and 60 ministers promise has cost the NDC supporters jobs. That's according to Asiedu Nketiah, as reported by the Daily Guide.
Well, how does appointing 60 ministers cost them jobs?
Because it's not 80 ministers.
Okay, so 80, you have special assistants and all of that.
Yes, your drivers and,
okay.
Yes.
I'll get to that shortly. We need to talk about that. The Insight Minds Watch slams minority, says its criticism of Barrock risk undermining Ghana's gold reforms comes with a photograph of Kwame Owusu Danso. Kwame Owusu Danso.
Mm-hmm. What's the story saying again?
It says that Minds Watch has slammed the minority. Mm-hmm. Says the minority's criticism of Barrock risk undermining Ghana's gold reform. So Lands and Minds Watch Ghana, which is an advocacy group that pursues responsible mining practices and environmental sustenance, has warned that the undue critic of Barrock by the minority NPP risks undermining Ghana's gold reform agenda. According to the group, the licensing of Barrock Limited as an aggregator under the gold board scheme is in the right direction, describing recent claims by the minority caucus in parliament as misleading. And so the watchdog, in a press statement issued in Accra yesterday by its executive director, Kwame Owusu Danso, said, while parliamentary oversight remains vital to democratic accountability, the minority's approach to the issue has generated more heat than light. U.S. invasion of Venezuela, not based on narco-terrorism, Gamal Nasser Adam, and Ghana's future under Mahama promising, though challenges remain. That's according to Arise Ghana. And so that's some assessment of the John Mahama administration. Now, let's get into the online news review this morning. If you get onto myjoyonline.com this morning, the main story is about what we know about the facility holding Ken Ofori Atta.
Oh, yes.
Ken Nanaya Kuntunkununku Ofori Atta. I will tell you more.
Kuntunkunizi, as he's known on the streets.
And it says, another bus smuggling over 1,000 ammunitions to northern Ghana from Accra intercepted.
This is problematic.
Yes, it is. It is.
This is truly troubling.
It is, Kujo. It is.
Because you have to understand, we are always told that it is spot checks that reveal these caches of arms.
Mm-hmm.
Spot checks.
Yeah.
It's not, we are not told that it's intelligence or anything. It's spot checks. So you have to ask, how many have gone through, you know, without being spot checked?
Exactly. That's true. Discipline, not politics, is powering Mahama's second coming, Franklin Cudjoe. IMF is real driver of Ghana's economic stability, not government genius, says Tia Kabiru Mahama, MP for Wale Wale. GPRTU says transport fares will be reviewed when operating cost ease. And NPP does not need Mahama to fail to return to power. Bamia's political aid and big freeze causes travel chaos across Western Europe. And U.S. immigration agent fatally shoots woman in Minneapolis, officials say. CityNewsroom.com this morning. Ofori Atta detained by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement in U.S. Says from plantain to tomato, how food prices drove Ghana's 12-month inflation decline. Savelugu-bound bus intercepted with over 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Baka Vomawo says 5-year presidential term must be decided by referendum, and lower fuel prices not enough for fare reduction yet. That's according to GPRTU. And I get a take on this, Kujo. Nimoy Thompson says lowering presidential age to 30 not appealing.
Look, I don't know why this particular suggestion of the CRC has created such resistance. Look, I think we have clear proof that age doesn't guarantee success. It doesn't. I mean, idiots grow old too. So the fact that someone has lived long doesn't guarantee that they will do a better job than someone who hasn't. But most importantly, in the end, the choice will be made by voters.
Yeah.
the choice will be made by voters. So if you lower the age to say 30, right, and a 30-year-old puts himself up for the presidency, does that automatically mean they become our president?
No.
The voter will decide. The voter, is it that we don't trust that voters can choose who they want? Is that what our problem is? So if the voter sees the 30-year-old on the ballot and says, I don't like this guy, they won't choose him. What are we worried about?
Okay, let's look at both sides of the debate.
Okay.
The fear is that sometimes you could have a very, and I mean, it goes both ways. You could have a very, young person who may not be the best, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of support among his young population, among the young population,
mm-hmm.
and is voted into office.
Yes.
But that same too could go for an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, look, age, if the person qualifies, if the person is elected by his political party, or if the population says that person should lead us, then it is our problem. We decided that a person should lead us.
We chose him, yes.
That's it. I do not think that 40 years is a determiner of wisdom.
At all. And I think we have proof that it isn't.
I do not think that 40 right? years should be a de facto determiner of wisdom.
No.
So that's something that I don't have a problem with. Whoever wants to be president, if you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 60, why is it that you can stand for election as a member of parliament when you're 21, but you cannot become president when you are 21?
Yeah, so when you are less than 30, you can lead a constituency like Domekwa Benya,
yes.
What's the population there?
Over 100,000.
Yes, you can lead
it's up to about 200,000.
Okay, you can lead 200,000 people.
Yes,
but you can't lead the country.
And let me just add this.
Why?
A speaker could be chosen from among members of parliament.
Precisely.
Once you qualify as a member of parliament, you qualify to be speaker of parliament.
Yes.
In the current laws of this country, when the president and the vice president are both out of the jurisdiction,
number three,
the speaker should act as president. So if I am 21 and I qualify to be speaker and I can act as president, why can't I be president?
You see, look, we major in the minors. I don't understand why anybody would even care whether this becomes law or not. In the end, people will choose the person they wish to lead us. The voter will choose. So you deciding that a certain group of people should be excluded from even being put up for the choice makes no sense. Let anyone who qualifies, who is of sound mind, oh dear God, the things that we must be caring about, we don't care about those. Great. People who must be of sound mind, right, of good moral character, let's pick those people, whatever their age, and then let the people decide.
Now there's a story, and so let's get into the newspapers. And could you talked about Samira Bamia crying,
yes, crying
about
foul.
The smear campaign against Dr. Mahmoudou Bamia. Now I don't know why politicians in Ghana, and I don't know why political parties in Ghana have not gone the United States of America way. Let the candidates debate. Okay? What the debate does is to enable us to see who is better placed, who understands the issues of the country, who is better. I mean, so would actually quiz them on every aspect. What is your policy when it comes to foreign relations? What is your policy on education? What is your policy on job creation? And here, we're not going to do just, I think that we'll pump money into the economy will go in and we'll create jobs. No, it's not how, that's not how. And, you actually would tell us. Then the people would appreciate. So when you go around, and these debates should be held across the country, when you do that, nobody will go and sit somewhere and say, well, you free and to mano.
Precisely.
Now we're free and to mano.
Precisely.
But when you don't do that, and it's all play all, they would go around and say all these things. And you see, I do not think that people should be elected by virtue of where they come from. But this is the paradox in our politics. When you decide that if your candidate comes from either the South or the North, his or her running mate
must come from the other side.
What you're actually saying is playing to the very thing that you say should not be a decider in any election.
Churchill, do you know what I think? And look, I know that once I say this, there are many who will disagree. I welcome your, you know, your disagreement. If you support a candidate who refuses a debate, you must stop supporting him or her immediately. Let me tell you why. Today we've allowed the flag bearers to decide whether or not they will debate. Right? In the past, it was par for the course. It was a thing. It had to be done. Now you hear them arguing, we don't like the organization that is doing the organizing the debate. We don't like the media house that will host the debate. We don't like this. We don't like that. They'll make all kinds of excuses to avoid coming to reveal the actual capacity that they have for leadership. If you are supporting someone who doesn't want to demonstrate his capacity for leadership by pitting himself against his opponent in a fair debate for everyone to see who understands the issues better, if the person does not want to do that, why does the person earn your vote? And you see the followers actually defending it. Oh, yeah, we won't debate. What do you mean we won't debate?
A conversation with our friends from the University of Professional Studies, Accra. I like it when I say UPSA. That's simple. So this morning we've been joined by Professor Emmanuel Asamoa, who's Pro-VC of UPSA, and Gertrude Amoko Ama, who is lecturer at UPSA Law School. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a while, Gertrude.
It has, Winston. I'm always happy to, you know, join you guys in the studio.
So. We're always happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are some outstanding issues.
We'll discuss that after the interview.
I like how you are in a hurry to, you know, move away from the outstanding issues. But I'm the moderator for the conversation.
I know. I know what I've done wrong, so don't worry. We'll remedy that afterwards.
Don't worry. But Prof, Happy New Year.
Many happy returns, and I want to use this opportunity to also say Happy New Year to our cherished listeners as well. From UPSA, the entire management team, faculty, students, and we are happy to connect with the community once again.
Oh, good. I like that one. Hope everything is fine at UPSA.
By the grace of God, we are moving on.
It's been a while since I showed up on campus.
Please, we are waiting for
you.
Well,
come around.
I have to come around.
Yes.
I owe somebody there, so... Oh, not money. Well, let me clarify, not money.
Okay.
I'm supposed to send... something to my supervisor.
Oh, I see.
So if I show up there,
one of those.
So, you know, I hope he's not listening. So I don't come there. But when I come there, and he grabs me. But I mean, before those who are tuning in, I know. Look, WASI was released last year.
Exactly.
Last quarter of last year.
Yes.
And so around this time, I know that admissions are ongoing. And UPSA has become the go-to institution for these young ones.
Yeah.
So help us understand the programs that are currently open for admission and who is eligible to apply.
Well, so currently, and thank you very much for this opportunity. We are... like you said, our brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters from the secondary school just got their results released. There is a lot of anxiety as to what is next for them. And that is where we come in as a university. Currently, we have about 14 bachelor's degree programs, which are in line with our mandate. And before I proceed, I wish to state that all our programs are fully accredited by the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission. There is none of our programs that are expired at the moment. So the programs that are currently available in line with our mandate runs from accounting, finance, banking, information technology, communication studies, and law. Very important is the newest programs that we have introduced in recent times, Bachelor of Arts in Communication Studies, Bachelor of Science in Data Science and Analytics, and then Bachelor of Science in Logistics and Transport Management, as well as Bachelor of Science in Real Estate Management and Finance. These are the newest programs that we have introduced. But we also have programs in Actuarial Science, Information Technology, Public Relations Management, Business Management, Accounting and Finance, Banking and Finance, and Business Economics. So these are the bouquet of programs that we currently have at the bachelor's level. Then at the diploma levels, we also have Diploma in Management, Diploma in Marketing, and we have Diploma in Accounting as well, offered on our campus, as well as Diploma in Public Relations Management and IT. Yes.
So let's look at the entry requirements, because you know these are wonderful programs you've talked about, and I know there are many people who would want to enroll onto these programs, but what are the basic entry requirements for gaining admission onto these programs, or in general UPSC?
Right. Thank you very much, Winston. So like Prof. Asamoah said, all our programs are fully accredited by the GTEC, and that also means that our entry requirements are also in line with what the regulator requires. So in terms of the general entry requirements, applicants need to have either the WASI certificate, which is the West African Senior School Certificate Exams, or even the SSC, the previous senior secondary school certificate examination certificate. Also, we also take applicants who have the general business certificate exams, or the GBCE. And for those who have the American high school, you know, grade 12, or with at least a final grade point of 3.0, they are also eligible to apply. We also admit applicants with the GCSE or Cambridge GCO and A level certificates. Now, for some of the programs, there are specific entry requirements that you need to have. So, for example, if you want to do the Bachelor of Science in Real Estate Management and Finance, for such applicants, they need to have credit passes in economics, geography, and any other elective subject. If you're applying for the Bachelor of Science in Actuarial Science and the Bachelor of Science in Data Science and Analytics, which Prof just, you know, made us know is one of our newly introduced programs, you ought to have credit passes in elective maths. And then finally, one of the entry, the specific entry requirements also has to do with the Bachelor of Science in Business Economics. For that program, applicants are required to have, you know, credit passes in economics and then elective mathematics. And just to wrap up on that, for the WASI applicants, in terms of the grades that they should have, you should have at least credit passes, which is, you know, grade A1 to C6 in three core subjects. But those three core subjects must include English language, mathematics, and either integrated science or social studies, and then in addition to any other three elective subjects.
So when you talk about the credit passes, you're just referring to
A1 to C6, yes.
That's for WASI applicants. Then when it comes to the SSE from
A to D.
Yes,
okay. A to D.
Okay. Great. So that's it basically for... But what about people who may not be coming straight from senior high school, such as diploma holders, mature applicants, or international students? Does UPSC have any options for them?
Well, yes, indeed, we do. So these are the top-up applicants and those who have had some work experience from industry and would want to enroll on a degree program. So a typical diploma holder will either be enrolled onto the second year or the third year, depending on their qualification or their graduation point. And then we also have mature students who... per the new directive from GTEC, must be at least 25 years old, 5 years working experience is also required, and then credit passes in three elective core subjects from WASI. So that is also required for those ones. International students are also admitted, but they would have to get their qualifications certified by GTEC before we can onboard them on our programs. They also would have to show proficiency in English for them to get enrolled. But very important is the diploma programs that we run at UPSA. You know, as the results have been released, news going around suggests that the performance was not so good. We have students who scored D7 in maths, especially because you know, they were not really too good in that particular subject. And for such ones, the thinking generally is that, oh, university is not for them. And that is where UPSA comes in. As I speak to you now, and GTEC has approved this admission requirement. Those who get D7 at UPSA, we admit them on our diploma programs.
Okay.
Now, this is an opportunity for them to prove themselves, because I believe that you can get aggregate 12, but you can have a D7, and automatically you can't do a degree per the requirement. But the diploma route is a perfect option. What it does is that you enroll on a diploma for 2 years, and if after the 2 years you get a distinction or a credit, you will immediately join your colleagues on the degree program after graduation in the third year, spend 2 more years, and then you also finish your degree. So essentially, you are also going to finish in 4 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, if you get a pass, that is when you will join in level 200 and spend 3 more years. So for us, we believe that opportunity must be given to everybody, irrespective of what happened to them at WASI, because things happen that, you know, affects performance of students. But once you come out with a D7, we give you this opportunity to also prove yourself, and then once you finish your diploma, then you can join your colleagues on the degree program. The other option is the access route, where we give them the opportunity to enroll on the professional programs like Chartered Institute of Marketing, ACCA, ICA, under our IPS route. And that also is an opportunity for those who perhaps didn't get a D7 but got an E8 or E9 and F9. They also will go and get at least part one of these professional programs whilst they take the opportunity to better their WASI. And once they get at least a D7, they can also go to the second year together with the part one of the professional programs and also complete their degree. So that is the unique thing about UPSA. We don't throw students away. We don't turn our backs on them. We want to give them the opportunity to prove themselves through another medium, and then they can also get a degree.
Great. Let's also find out, I mean, for those who are interested in applying, for instance, we'll get into the deadlines. But in talking about all of the things, you've not talked about those who want to do the LLB right from WASI.
Right.
What are their own, are there some specific cutoff points they must meet?
Yeah, so like you're well aware, at UPSA we have the 4-year Bachelor of Laws program, which targets young brothers and sisters who are coming in from the senior high schools. We also have the 3-year program, but that's a post first degree Bachelor of Laws for those who already have a first degree. So admissions are actually still open for those who want to apply onto the 4-year LLB program. In terms of the cutoff point, yes, definitely there is a cutoff point. Definitely they need to meet the general requirements, entry requirements as mentioned here. But Prof, what do we have? A
aggregate 10.
Okay, so the specific cutoff point for the 4-year Bachelor of Laws program, which is still open at UPSA, is aggregate 10 or better.
Oh, okay. So if I'm interested in applying, what deadline should I be mindful of, and where can I go for accurate information or support during the application process?
The good thing is that all our programs, the undergraduate and diploma programs, admissions is still open for all of them up until Thursday, 15th of January, 2026. So for all our young friends who are listening to us who have not yet applied to UPSA, please note that you have up until next week, Thursday, the 15th of January, to apply. In terms of the process, very simple, very straightforward. You just have to purchase an online serial number or an OSN. These are available for purchase. I think about 250 cities or
250
so.
250 cities,
right?
Yes,
and you can get these at any EcoBank or Access Bank branch nationwide. So in any of the branches that you can find in Ghana. Also, any Ghana post, any post office branch that you can get nationwide. And of course, in this era of technology and short codes and what have you, you can dial *887*#*887*#* to be able to purchase an OSN. Then you can go online and do the application, upload all supporting documents, then you hear from us. We advise everyone to visit our website. It has very detailed information on all these issues that we have just discussed here. And the website is www.upsa.edu.gh. www.upsa.edu.gh.
Winston, I must also add that Zenith Bank just came on board. So the OSN can also be purchased at any branch of Zenith Bank nationwide.
Great. And moreover, you can even walk in to campus at any point in time at all. We are welcoming you. We are there to answer all your questions or your inquiries, and we'll be happy to assist you.
Okay. if you don't want to do it on your phone, you can get to campus.
Absolutely. Yes.
But, Prof, before we wrap it all up, why UPSA? So for those who are listening to us, who've listened to all the good, great programs on offer, and they're still asking, okay, so why do I need to go there?
There are many, many reasons. But most importantly, UPSA has been at the forefront of professional education for over 6 decades. We are currently celebrating our anniversary this year. It's a very long anniversary, 60th anniversary. And that tells you that we have gained a lot of experience in delivering tertiary education. Beyond our longevity in the country, our products are everywhere. I mean, you can attest to that fact as well. You yourself, your good self. Exactly. And you're doing wonders in Ghana lately. And if you go to most of the corporate world, our products are making strides, contributing to national development at various levels. We also have accreditation from the Accreditation Council for Business Schools and Programs, which is a US-based body. That tells you that our qualifications are not just for local requirement, but we have subjected ourselves to peer review from an international body such as the ACBSP. Beyond the accreditation that we have gotten from GTEC, which is the national regulator, and many more reasons. Currently, we have decided to use project-based teaching to give our students some experiential learning opportunities so that when they get into the business field, they don't get lost. So we are trying to correct some of the wrongs in our educational sector, and that puts it at a certain pedestal within the country. But before I pause on that, I must also say that we are also having January intake admissions for some of our postgraduate programs. So the newest kid on the block is the PhD in Public Policy and Leadership, which we recently got accredited. It's a fantastic program, and I'm inviting everybody to apply for the January intake, as well as the LLM programs that we recently also got accreditation. Three of them, January intake admissions is still ongoing. We have some MBA programs in accounting, finance, asset and wealth management, MIS, and many others, corporate governance, marketing. January intake admission is still open for all these master's programs. And there are some MA and MSc master's programs as well, which you can enroll for our January intake. All this information are on our website for your consumption.
Great. Thank you very much, Professor Emmanuel Asamoah, Pro Vice Chancellor of the University of Professional Studies, Accra, and to you, Gertrude Amokwama, who's lecturer at UPSA Law School. So, folks, you know what to do. Just get online and start the admission process.